Psalm 127. You know what? I'm just in a mood this morning to go against my notes. Is that okay? Psalm 126. That just caught my attention. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. You ever dreamed something that's so vivid and so real, and then you wake up and it's gone? Okay. A lot of times, you know what that is? A lot of times, that is like when we have a hope for something that we want to happen, and then we wake up and it dawns on us that it was just a dream, and it's not ever going to be reality. And can I want to encourage you with something. I want to help you with something. I believe God caught my eye with this, and I don't know who this is for. Maybe for me, maybe for you. But don't ever lose hope in what God can do. Don't ever lose that. Okay? I believe that God can turn His dreams that He gives to us into reality. Because I believe God can do things that nobody else can do. That's what I believe in. I absolutely believe that. So verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's your testimony, by the way. That's what everybody ought to say about you, is that God's been good to you. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Then verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That shall is not a maybe. That phrase does not have a question mark on the end of it. It means what it says. It says what it means. And just ask yourself, do I believe that this morning? Do I believe what God said this morning? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And the phrase doubtless, God wrote in that book for you, because you have doubted whether or not God was actually going to do what he said he was going to do, or the devil had you convinced that you were not good enough to get the goodness of God. He told you that lie. He told you you were not good enough. You don't qualify. He told you, this is what the devil told you. The devil told you you don't qualify. Your sins have been too great. You're too dead. You're too far gone. It was bad. It's over with. That's what he told you. God's word says otherwise. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Amen. Now, Psalm 127. Verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now I want you to think about that. And if you ever were inclined to put a verse of scripture on your refrigerator, as a bumper sticker on your car, something that you carry around in your wallet or your purse, or just something to be mindful of. If there was ever a verse, and this is something I imagine you've heard, but we don't talk a lot about it. But it clearly teaches us that if God is not in it, neither should we be. If God's not in it, if God didn't say, this is what I'm going to do, then it should be upon the heart of, I would say especially every believer in Christ, everyone who claims the name of Christ, if God didn't say it, or God didn't want it to be, or God's not in it, we should say, listen, I don't think God's in this, and I'm out. Because he may not kill us all for this, but I guarantee you, if God's not in it, it is vain. You know what vain means? Doesn't last. Uncertain riches are vanity of this world. They don't last. I mean, we could just probably stand here in reality and consider that the United States of America financially is sitting on a toothpick, ready to snap. So all the wealth of America has been turned into vanity. And I actually believe that since we have gotten rid of all of our factory jobs in this country, you know what we're doing? We're getting money off of vanity. Okay? You ask Brother George Lemon, I'm going to see him this week. He's got a mission church up in the White Earth tribe community with the Ojibwe Indians. And this is true, and I'm not speaking anything against Native Americans. But for the most part, they have casinos there. We've got casinos up here in St. Louis, and we don't want them in Jefferson County.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate Ken Waller, who's the new county executive, Jefferson County. He has so far resisted every push to get a casino in this county. I'm telling you, we don't want it. We do not want the income and the source of income in this county to be based upon immorality.
Amen.
God will not bless that. But anyway, if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It may start out looking good. It may start out nice, but it won't last. And I want you to consider this. We've been kind of doing this idea. This is still based upon what we find in Nehemiah. The people had a mind to work. They had a mind, they had a vision, they had a goal. It was in their heart to work. And I've been preaching here for a few weeks on laboring and working. But the idea is, and this is something that I've had to learn a long time ago, especially in the ministry. I thought, Brother Gary, that, and I promise you, several years ago, you would not have liked Mike Hoggard. You may not like me much now, okay? But you wouldn't like me. I had it in my mind that now that I'm the pastor of this church, I have to perform, and I'll be the one responsible for bringing people into the church and getting people saved and filling the pews. And that was a burden on me that I had taken on myself, and God reminded me one day that it wasn't my burden. I was taking on something that God said clearly belongs to Him. Paul said, I plant the seed, Apollos waters, but God bringeth the increase. And Jesus talked about that when he's talking about the vine. He said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. You do not produce fruit. If you abide in me, I will bring forth much fruit in you. And I want you and start living and believing a life where you have a mindset that says, if it's of God, I'm in. And if it's not of God, I'm out. And you can apply this then to your home life. And it says, except the Lord build the house. You think God simply cares for 2x4 walls?
No.
The house is where you live with your husband or your wife and your children. And except God do things in your life, you are wasting your time. You might just want to consider this. The lifespan, let's say, of this time right now. And I'm not talking about people that got married 40, 50 years ago. But people who are getting married in today's world without Jesus Christ and without God's blessing in their life, what do you think the lifespan of most marriages are in this country, people who are getting married recently? How long do you think they're going to stay together, Mark? A few years tops? 1 year? I married a young lady out at Richwoods. That didn't see out the end of the month. That's what I said. I went, wow, boy, that was quick. And I kind of, for years, I went around joking with people, I'd rather do funerals than weddings. Well, how come? I said, they stay dead longer than people stay married. But I'm just, you ask the question in your mind and your heart right now, and you ought to know the answer to this already. If God had not kept you two together, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be together. Listen, God does not give pastors an exemption from being invaded with this world. Pastors and his wives. God has helped Lisa and I, and he still is. We have not reached the pinnacle of perfection in our marriage. We have not reached the place where we don't need God's help. We're not there. And if the Lord had not kept us together, we wouldn't be together. Simple as that. If God had not helped us with our children, we wouldn't have help. We don't know how to raise kids. We don't know how to do it if God hadn't done it for us. And you can mark that down. I don't care what area of life you're in. If God doesn't do it in your life, you are wasting your time. Now, I've been kind of preaching here in the last few weeks about the work of a believer and the labor of a believer. And that's kind of where I'm headed this morning. And I'm going to try to mind the Lord. I'm going to mind the time, not necessarily because I want to get out of here and eat, but I got a man up at the hospital waiting on me. Okay? And I want you to be mindful of that. And I want to get up there. Okay? Because I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I want to get up there. But I want you to ponder this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And then Psalm 128, look at the very next chapter there. In Psalm 128, verse 1. I'll give you a few minutes to turn there while I take a drink of water. There, are you there now? Say amen. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in whose ways? His ways, not ours. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And he's given you that illustration of fruit bearing and fruitfulness. He says, if you will fear the Lord and walk in his ways. And I'm reasonably sure that everybody in this room, everybody listening to me, you know whether or not you are in God's will or in walking in God's ways or not. I know when I have stepped out of line with God, I know it. And I've asked God, God, don't let me get away with anything. God, catch me before I go too far. Anchor me, chain me, tie me down. All that stuff that we wish we could do to our kids and grandkids every now and then. Tie them down, chain them up, okay? I had a teacher come to me one time. We had school here. She came to my office. She said, you ain't duct tape. I was reaching in my drawer and I said, what do you need it for? She said, I'm going to tie this kid down. And I went, no, you can't do that. That's against the law. Anyway, bless her heart. But if you don't walk in God's ways, you know what you're doing? You're walking in your own. Then you start thinking you can do this on your own. Then you start thinking that you're going to get so good. Here, watch this now. Watch this. Avoid the concept that you can get so good at being a Christian that you don't need God anymore. Avoid that. It's a setup. It's a joke. It's a lie. You can't do it without God and his ways. You just can't. God, in fact, I'll say this. God won't let you do it any other way than his way. His ways are higher than our ways. Somebody say amen. His thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. We won't even understand, but God has a way. And I've learned over the years to trust God's way, even if I thought, God, I think this is dumb. I think this is not the right, this is God, this is not what I want. I think it'll be bad if it'll go this way. I've tried to counsel God and tell him what I thought. And God said, Mike, trust me. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm building. I can build a house in a way that you can never even touch. And I'm just telling you, avoid the idea and the mindset that you can get so good and do so. We get into these good habits, which are fine, but that you can get so good that you don't need God's help anymore. I think that's a setup for a fall. I think that's a setup for some very bad things happening to you. The Bible tells us plainly. Paul said, any of you that stand, take heed lest he fall. I'm capable of it, and so are you. So you just ponder that. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. Now I'm going to read some other scriptures here, and I want you to just ponder now. Let me say it like this. I thought about this last night. I do not believe works bring salvation. I'm going to show you the scripture that salvation brings works. Why am I preaching this message? I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe we might get too high for God to be manifested in our life. I never want that. I've been that way before. I don't want that. Maybe we can decide that we can just do this and ask God to bless it. Can I tell you something? If you will follow God and follow what He says in this book, you won't have to ask God to bless it. When you're following what God said, God blesses His word automatically. Can I hear you say amen? He will bless what He said He would do in His word. You don't even have to ask God to bless it. He'll bless it. Proverbs 10:16. I want you to think about this. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Ask yourself the question, what is sin? And you can define it however you want to in your mind. But the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. Liars are sinners. Lying is sin. Coveting is sin. Stealing is sin. Murder is sin. Committing adultery is sin. Cursing or working against your mother and father and not bringing them honor, that is sin. Think of all those things in the Bible. Sin is a transgression of the law. When you break God's law, you are sinning. Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know why? When you do things that is not of faith, you know why it's a sin? Because you are trying to do it on your own. You're trying to do it and say, I don't have to trust God for this. I think it's going to be an automatic deal. I've been around the block a few times and I can tell you, never just assume that God always has to bless every day of your life and make it sweet for you. Never assume that. I know God too well. I fear Him, by the way. I fear what God can do to me. Can I hear you say amen? You should. So He says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. You know what that means? If you want your marriage right before God, don't have some woman out on the side somewhere. You want God to bless your marriage? Would you like for things to work really well between you and your spouse? Then don't have another woman out somewhere. Don't have another man out somewhere. God's going to bless that. And that's what that says. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. And I've been saying this over and over. Relationships, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's Sterling and Gloria. Doesn't matter if it's me and Lisa. Doesn't matter if it's Chili Putty over here and Jesse. Relationships take work. Takes doing. And if you will work righteousness in your marriage, you will have life in your marriage. Does that make sense to everybody? If you sin against your marriage, don't be surprised at the fruit that comes as a result of that. Listen to the wording here. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You hear the birthing terminology in that. Don't be surprised. If you sow wicked seed into your marriage, don't be surprised at what the result of that is. You stepped outside of God's guidelines and God's pathways and God's ways. You refused to let God work. You refused to sow righteousness in your marriage. And the fruit of that is going to come out. And it's that way, whether it's work-related, business-related, shopping-related, financial-related, home-related, church-related, it is that way. And if God doesn't do it, and we do it, it's never going to turn out right. I struggled for years, as I told you before, on how to build a big church. I wanted a big church. I wanted lots of people to like me in my big church. And I had this little fantasy idea of how I could be Mr. Popularity and how I could build church. Now, I will tell you that I'm not the only one who's ever thought that way, because in this area, there are big churches in this county. Are there not? There are big churches. God's given us some light here in this church. We can kind of see things that are not right according to the Word of God. Do you think that it's possible that some of these churches have been built upon man and not upon God? And I'll tell you this, if this is missing out of that church, there's no way they could have built that church on God. There's no way. Here's your building blocks right here. There's no way they could have done that. And I'm just saying to you, I wanted that, and I wanted to try to build it on my own so people could pat me on the back and say, "Oh, Hoggard, you're doing a good job." I craved that more than anything. What I wanted, Sister Linda, was to go to the state meeting of Free Will Baptist and have them pat me on the back and say, "Boy, Mike, you're doing a good job." Because I had that once, and it felt really good. And I was going to chase that down. And God said, "Mike, I'll build it. It's mine. Let me have it." God, you're right. I'll let you have it. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You know what that means? Don't buy lottery tickets. Amen? Don't buy lottery tickets. Don't go to the casino. I shouldn't have to ask for every amen. Don't go to the casino. Don't try a get-rich-quick scheme. Leave that nonsense. I admit, when I was in college, I tried chain letters. That was stupid.
Amen.
Amen. And in my 20s, and I've always, even from my 30s, hated my 20s. My 20s were bad times. I always wanted to try to get out of work. I wanted to try to do it on my own or get wealth and get rich quick. And I would have to get up early in the morning and go to work, go crawl in an attic at 5:30 in the morning, Jared, and blow somebody's attic and get out of that. But the Bible says the labor of the right, or excuse me, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You know what that means? Hey, young people, you know what that means? Go to work. Go to work. Don't think I'm being mean. But you take somebody that's on welfare and government handouts. They're on government handouts for money, for their rent, for their health, for their food, for everything they have. They're on government handouts. You know what that is? That is wealth gotten by vanity. So, Pastor, are you against helping people who are disabled? Absolutely not. I'm for. We have a whole bench full of guys back there that cannot earn their own living, and they either the answer is they can either move in with us, or we can hire people to tend to them, and those guys do a really good job.
Amen.
Okay? But I can tell you, for every one of those guys back there on that back pew, there's probably 100,000 people in this country who are on government handouts that don't need it, that could go out and work for themselves. And I say, take that money and buy Frank he likes Cardinal baseball. Buy him a season ticket and take him to every single Cardinals home game there is. That's what I say. But somebody who is getting easy money, how long do they hold on to it? Those that have had to work for every penny they've got, you tend to lay it back and save it up and not blow it, except for something that is needed and vital. Is this Bible right? This Bible's right. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And that applies to all the Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, and Joyce Meyer's teachings and ministries in this country and around the world. They're trying to tell you that God is a get-rich-quick scheme, and they're lying through their teeth. God has a plan for you gaining wealth. You know what it's called? Work! That's what it's called. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You know what penury means? You don't have anything. Okay? It's all gone. You're needy. You're out of food, you're out of clothes, you're out of gas, you're out of everything. And just look at the reality of that verse. In all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth. And have you ever had your boss come in and say, "Do I pay you guys to talk or work?" Every now and then, I walk by a certain person's office in this building, and I just kind of stand there and say, "Are we having an important meeting here? Or are there things to do?" I try to be nice, because three of them are my daughters, and I love them. But everybody has got to work, and we don't want to be them shovel leaners. Amen? Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what the word abound means? I like this. It's abundance. Bounding is when a buck deer jumps an 8-strand barbed wire fence. He bounds over that thing. A deer doesn't get out on his belly and crawl underneath it, does he, Jared? We've seen them, haven't we? We've seen them rascals jump that fence. That's abounding. That's high. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And God will bless His work in His kingdom. That prayer we talked about a while ago, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God gives us priorities, and His kingdom always comes first. And if you're laboring for something that is not of the kingdom of God, and when I say laboring for something not of the kingdom of God, I'm excluding how you have to go to work to pay your bills and put food on your table. I'm excluding that. That's a given. I think parents, we need to instill in this generation, get up and go to work. The stupid government of ours, a few years ago, they floated an idea, Jared, that they were going to make it illegal for farm family children to work on a farm. They were going to make that illegal. Do you know my great-grandfather, you know how he learned to work? He's about 5 or 6 years old, pitching hay. You know where my grandfather learned to work? He grew up on a sharecropping farm, and they had 12 boys. Do you know why? Farmhands. Work, labor. My daddy learned to work that way. And I'm going to tell you something, we've lost something in this generation, because most of us don't farm. What they wanted to do, they wanted to cripple the back of America by saying to farm families, "You cannot make your child work." That's criminal. That's evil. And I want to tell you something. That's ridiculous. Amen. Teach your children to work and to labor. And they won't be coming to church getting church welfare. "Well, pastor, you know, as long as whatever my pastor says, that's what it is." You ever study it for yourself? No. Why not? I just don't have time. Baloney. Who in here knows for a fact that you do have time to spend in the Word of God every single day? Raise your hand. You know it for a fact. 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." There it is, right there again. Pastor, you preaching work salvation? No. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you from the Bible, how God lays this thing out. I do not believe that works bring salvation. I believe salvation brings works. And I'm going to show you that exact verse here in just a few minutes. Galatians 6:4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." You know what really gets me? Is when the sports teams want to take away scoreboards from the sports teams. That gets me. We was at a basketball game the other day, Sterling, and one of these little snotty liberal women were going, and I guess it's because her team, her little boy or grandkid was getting beat up bad out on the basketball court. She said, well, I don't think they should even keep scoring these games. Listen, if we tore down the scoreboard, the kids would keep score. Do you know what drives children and drives and encourages them to be responsible for their lives? The fact that somebody else got something that they didn't get. And they got it because they earned it. Should we give all the children an equal score in everything? Absolutely not. Should we give everybody? Somebody's going to be mad at me. They were picketing this McDonald's up here in St. Louis. You know what their new phrase is now? Wage theft. Wage theft. They're stealing our wages from us. No, they're paying you what they agreed to pay. If you don't like it, go get another job. Go back to school. Go learn something. Government programs to help you. And go make your mind better and go to work at a better job. But I don't think, and now they've run this idea of wage equality around. Everybody ought to make the same wage. It doesn't work that way in this world. It's that way in heaven, but it doesn't work in this world. Because if everybody made the same wage, who would do the work? I wouldn't. I'm getting paid $15 an hour doing nothing. They tried that in Russia. Russian farmers, before the communists went in, Russian farmers were working like everybody else had to. When the Russian government, the communist government, took over the farms, they said, we'll pay you farmers a wage, just keep the crops rolling in, and we'll pay you a wage. That way you get money every year, whether the crops do good or not. You know what they decided to do, John? They said, we get paid whether we work or not. Why should we work? We're going to get paid anyway. Anyway, Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace are you saved. And I'm going to listen. Turn here in the Bible. Ephesians 2, verses 8. Now, I'm not going to make this message too much longer. And I want you to hear me out on this. All right? I was asking God how I could preach it. And I didn't get really in a major answer. So I'm just going to preach it the way it's written. I want you to remember, keep this phrase now in your mind. You turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. Works do not produce salvation. Salvation produces works. And I'm going to show you that from the Scriptures. And I myself was caught off guard when I read this, because I've quoted the first part of this verse probably 100 million times. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have preached that verse. I have memorized that verse. I have talked about that verse. I believe that verse, and I believe everything that that verse stands for. Do you say amen? It's the Word of God. But we always stop at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. You do not work to get salvation. But when God saves you, you then become the workmanship of Christ, who has